Kit and Cody, comedians discussing obscure books with witty commentary. Odd books, bizarre books, awful books, oddball books, slightly racist, super racist. Get your fix from Cody and Runjit.
Welcome to Tomfoolery.
Tomfoolery.
How you doing, Runjit?
Great. How are you today, Cody?
I'm doing all right. Having a good one. So this is our live episode. Finally,
the lost live episode.
I know you all thought it had died in a fire back in the 50s.
So did
but
we.
But it's still alive.
This one's colorized, right? I think they added color.
Yes, it's in Technicolor. Before we introduce the episode, we are going to give you a disclaimer. We were unable to record it directly from the microphones, so we had to use a handheld recorder. So the audio quality on this podcast is not only below our normal quality, but could be considered below the normal quality of what should be expected from people doing a professional, somewhat professional podcast. One would imagine we would have done better, and one should, but we didn't.
And we would like to do better on future live episodes.
We are going to work hard to make any future live episodes that we do better. But in the meantime, mistakes happen. We're new at this, and it was still a fun episode, and so we wanted to make sure that you all got to experience the fun that was that episode.
We had some great guests in the episode, some great local comedians from Chicago. We had Sherman Edwards, who was our first ever guest.
Yes.
Right?
Narrative of Arthur Gordon Pym of Nantucket.
That's right.
Yes.
And in fact, this live episode was a celebration of the one-year anniversary of our podcast.
I can't believe we've been doing it for a year.
Yeah, so we thought it would be very fitting to have our first guest, and also he's a great guy and fun.
And he's a good friend of ours, and it was a blast.
We also had Katie McVeigh, who is hysterical. You know her a lot better than I do.
She's a local Chicago comic, member of Chicago Underground Comedy, 2-hour comedy hour, Yell You Better. She's fantastic.
Super funny, and didn't want to play our games that much.
No.
Spoiler alert.
Yep, that's a fun. That was a fun bit of tension between her and I.
We also had Rebecca O'Neill. Again, you know her a little bit better than I do.
Yeah, she's great. Congrats on your success. She did Bridgetown this year. She's fantastic. Super, super nice. Super nice person.
So she was a lot of fun. And then we also had Nick John, a very good friend of mine, a guy who's done a lot of work with the Second City and does very innovative and different stand-up and improv and sketch things. Super blast to have around.
Yeah, he was great. I had a lot of fun. And we did the whole episode, since we had several guests, was themed Dr. Seuss. It was our Dr. Seuss Tomfoolery. You guys might have seen the poster, which was done by Olin Kidd and was fantastic.
One of the best posters I've ever seen.
Ever, of any show ever. Fantastic. He also designed our logo and everything. Olin does most of the design work of any of the projects I'm involved in. And so the books that we read were Fox and Socks, One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish, Green Eggs and Ham, and Walk It in My Pocket.
You got it.
Not in that order.
Nice.
Not at all in that order.
Nicely done.
But it was a blast. I'm actually thinking of going as Sexy Fox and Socks for Halloween. I've already got an outfit picked out, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was a fun podcast, and we wanted to make sure that we got it out to you guys in some form. So we hope you enjoy it.
Have a great time with it, please.
Yeah, and here is the Tomfoolery live episode.
Hey, how's everybody
doing? I'm Cody, he's Runjit.
Thank you all for coming out to Tome Foolery Live, or as I like to call it, my early birthday party, since I know most of you here, and I probably would have been invited had I had a birthday party, so there we go.
As I call it, people who don't like basketball.
Yeah! Suck at basketball, whatever that is. I assume it's some sort of Mayan tradition of some kind. Aztec, I don't know, I'm sure Peter knows. Anyway, let's reference everybody in the audience, listeners at home know what we're talking about. Welcome to the show! Hi, thanks for coming out! In case you don't know what the show is and wasn't paying attention to the theme song, we have read a bunch of Dr. Seuss books with some friends of ours. Not with them, I guess. We had them do it separately.
We're very proud of ourselves.
Yeah.
We've read more books in the last week than probably most people have read.
Yeah, it's been
Very short.
Yeah, they're very short, but still very challenging. I don't know if anybody's familiar with Dr. Seuss. It's a very challenging read.
Yeah, it's called Beginning Books. Don't let that fool you.
Yeah, one of them's called Beginner's Books, which is even. But then it was somehow the hardest one to get through for me. We'll figure that out later. Oh man, how you doing, Renjit?
I'm awesome. How are you tonight, Code?
Doing all right. I've got cufflinks on, so it's not bad. I feel like this is the most tame outfit I've ever worn on stage, and that's saying a lot.
I don't think he's exaggerating.
For those who are at home, I'm wearing something that looks like I killed a new wave Scotsman and then made a jacket out of his kilt. So there you go. If a Scotsman was the head of Talking Heads, and then I murdered him mercilessly, and then made a jacket, that's probably what this is, right? I'd say that's about right.
I look like I'm just blind. Went to a thrift store and reached my hands out.
Which is what I assume the blind do when they're at thrift stores.
You see them all the time. They're
right. Familiar. They're not just for Macklemore. They're also for blind people. You know. I'm sure I got this at a thrift store. Look, it even has Scotsman inside of it. You have bagpipers for the audience. There you go. Bagpipers. Hi. Welcome. Come on in. We've just got new people coming in all
day. Thanks for coming. This is our one. We're celebrating our 1 year anniversary of our podcast.
We started. We started last July with the narrative of Arthur Gordon Pym, Edgar Allan Poe's only novel, and of course, most racist novel. it's real weird.
Again, if you were paying attention to the song, a lot of the word racist appears in the song.
Yeah,
for a reason.
We've done a lot of good ones. We did Doc Savage at one point. We did a book with Chris Simmons about the Nazi Party being a front for a future homosexual movement later in America. Because, you know.
That was a purported nonfiction book.
Right. Yeah, it was a nonfiction book.
Not a novel.
Because as a homosexual, I definitely can tell you we like to plan. Very far in advance.
Hey, guys, there was a gay agenda in the 40s. Here's just slightly different than the gay agenda today.
Before we get into the show, and we'll get into it in a moment, I just want to say that the argument that I never made during that podcast that I should have made is that you would think that if we were able to orchestrate the Holocaust without anybody knowing it, you'd think we could get gay marriage passed in Illinois. Or at least voted on. We really let the ball drop after a while, you would think.
And you'd be better at recruiting.
Right. It's like we front-loaded all of our effort and then everybody else just got tired. That's not good. But anyway, let's move on with the show at hand, shall we?
Let's do it.
We could talk about gay people being Nazis all day.
We could. And we do. But let's bring out our guests.
Yeah, Renjit, why don't you go ahead and introduce our first guest.
Our first guest of the evening, he is a veteran of the Second City Toronto stage, as well as he's done a lot of work with Second City Chicago, and one of my favorites, comics. His name is Nick John. Let's welcome Nick John. Woo!
Nick, how's it going?
Good. It's great to be here.
Thanks for coming out. I love it.
I'm going to make sure your mic is on.
Is it on?
It should be.
It's on.
It should be.
This should be on.
Live theater, everybody. This is what it is. It is on. We are good.
Okay, we're good.
How's it going, Nick? How's your day been?
Pretty good. I'm tired. My daughter kept me up all last night. For some reason, she just wanted to party.
She's six.
Yeah, she's six. And she just woke up, and so I'm working on about 3 hours sleep if I start hallucinating.
Well, you picked the perfect book for that.
Yes, I did.
You chose, for the audience, you chose Green Eggs and Ham. It is your book. And did you read that to your daughter?
Oh, she knows it off by heart. That's one of the reasons why I picked it.
Well done.
Your copy of the book is very well worn. Can you show it to our audience?
Yeah,
I know
sure.
This is a podcast.
This is my daughter. Her name is Emma, and this is her seal of approval. If she likes it, anything, she will bite it.
I tend to be very similar myself.
Yeah, she doesn't bite out of hate or aggression. It's just, I really like it.
I think that's when nice. She grows up and becomes a book reviewer, that's going to be her system.
That's
four bites.
Yeah.
She's
going to really love Twilight when she gets old enough. That's all. So since we're talking about your daughter and Green Eggs and Ham, we always like to ask what kind of books the guests liked to read when they were a kid.
Oddly enough, you mentioned one of them, Doc Savage. I was like a real pulp fiend. I like the science fiction, but I really like the crazy pulp stuff.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, Hardy Boys.
Okay. Yeah. I was an Encyclopedia Brown kid. All right.
There's going to be a rumble later.
We'll go to town. We'll get some Nancy Drew people. I'm sure there's some in the audience over there. We'll all go to town. That'd be good. Cool. What other pulp, other than Doc Savage, any Hornet in there?
I used to read old short stories, science fiction short stories, but they were all from like the 30s and the 40s.
Yeah,
nice. I wasn't into the modern science fiction at 12 years of age.
Yeah, it was all Derek Gurr at that point. Yeah,
exactly.
Cool. And what do you read now? Still in the pulp scene? What are we working
on? No, I just finished a really funny book, Screw Everyone by Ophira Eisenberg. Really recommend it. It's really a very funny book.
Nonfiction or?
Yeah, it's a memoir about how she sort of slept her way to monogamy. That's sort of like her byline. She's a stand-up comic out of New York. She runs The Moth. So she tells a really good yarn. And it's really funny. It's a funny, funny, funny book.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Well, why did you choose Green Eggs and Ham today?
Well, familiarity. And
I would say it's probably the most popular, familiar book, especially of the ones that we're reading we're talking about tonight.
I must have read this to my daughter at least 1,000 times. This one shows you how popular this is. This is the 50th anniversary edition, but not only that, it's the party edition.
Oh, yes. I know, I have the Cat in the Hat party edition.
I'm not sure what's so party about it.
I think it's the holofoil.
Is it?
I think that's what
it's shiny.
Yeah, it's because think about it, all right? You get you get one of those like revolving multicolored light things, put your Green Eggs and Ham on it, just turn off the lights,
hooray!
And then just get all of your kids on ecstasy, and then just go to town.
Yes.
I think that's it, right?
My daughter does ecstasy.
Put on some sheet, Lefreak.
Yes. Put on some, the kids listen to these days. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Get some Raining Men in there while you're at it. What are the new standards of today?
Yeah, the three of us are looking at each other we have no clue whatsoever.
Yeah, don't rely on the gay guy for the disco standards, although I do have them available. I just wish I didn't. All right.
Here's a little fact, random fact about Green Eggs and Ham.
We have not, but we are about to.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but here I go, though.
Please do.
Yeah, I'm going to go with it.
Post haste.
Yeah. So, Green Eggs and Ham, maybe some of you guys know this. Green Eggs and Ham was written kind of as a response to a challenge. Dr. Seuss's publisher, Bennett Cerf, challenged him and said, I'll bet you can't write. By this time, Dr. Seuss was already very famous. He said, I'll bet you can't write a really good beginning children's book with only 50 words in it.
Ooh.
And so Green Eggs and Ham, believe it or not, only uses the same 50 words over and over again.
Yeah. Which is why it's so great for kids, because they hear that, they're into repetition, and then they just start repeating it back to you.
Yeah, and it's a good vocab Some of the words are not necessary entirely. I was really hoping you were going to say that the publisher challenged him, and then the Dr. Seuss stabbed him. I challenge you to write a book of only 50 words, and the Dr. Seuss went, no, stabbed him, and then later was like, actually, that sounds like a good idea. Sorry.
Sorry, I shouldn't have stabbed you.
Story. Yeah.
Make it much
I shouldn't
better.
Have stabbed that dude. I should have just, yeah. Oh, man. Well, so do we want to... Do you want to open it up? Let's open it up to Nick. Nick,
sure.
Can you guess the 50 words?
I don't know, but I could probably read them to you.
Well, that's a little less of a challenge.
Yeah.
Just try it. Let's see as many as you can get. Just thinking about the book.
Okay, let's see. Here and there, anywhere, house, mouse, box, fox.
I've lost count. I think that was like 30.
Tree, car, train, dark,
a train.
Rain,
okay.
Goat, boat.
Mm-hmm. You're forgetting a lot of articles and prepositions.
Yeah, then there's the, ands, likes.
What does Sam say? Did she say that?
I am.
There you go.
That's
two different ones.
That's sort of like
a conjunct.
Yeah, that's right. It's like, it was like the opening of Genesis.
I thought you meant
the band Genesis. I was talking about the opening of the band Genesis, right?
I am here and come. I don't know. Is that Genesis? I don't even know.
Okay. Lots of would nots, could nots.
We're not going to count multiple of them, but we'll take you one into one. I think a not counts the same way both ways.
Yeah.
Because it's not conjunctive.
Would, could, like, I do not, do not.
Mm-hmm. Do.
Do.
Yeah. That was close to 50, right? That was pretty good, guys.
We're going to call it 50. This is being audited by Ernst & Young, guys. Okay.
That was my favorite 70s band.
They have the opening of Ernst & Young.
The open for Genesis. Yeah. Before they teamed up with Crosby and Stills.
They do the Illinois Lottery and Tom Foolery.
Yeah. We managed to snag that one. It was a good get for us.
They sponsor us.
Amazon would not return our phone calls, but yeah, Ernst & Young, they were on board.
Right on that.
Chicago Tribune would not talk to me. Ernst & Young, we're on board.
So you've read this book like 1,000 times.
Close to it, yeah. It's an exaggeration, but a lot. It's her favorite, or one of her favorites.
What are her other favorites?
I Took the Moon for a Walk. Is one.
What's that about?
I have no idea, but the art's really nice.
Nice.
What's the other one? An Eric Carle one where they're like goldfishes are looking at white dogs.
Yeah, we've all been there.
You know that one?
Yeah, I know.
I think it's called Goldfishes Looking at White Dogs. What's another favorite of hers? Pajama Time.
Is it just two pages and it just says stop and then you turn the page and it goes pajama time?
Pretty much.
That would be great.
Touch pajama time.
The belly button book by the same writer as Pajama Time, Andrea Boynton. I think that's her name.
Andrea Boynton got a
Elizabeth.
Sarah. Oh, is it Elizabeth Boynton or Sarah Boynton?
What's happening? Is it like the Bronte sisters? Or is it like the Brady sisters? They all write children's books, but then one of them writes really dark children's books. Is that what's happening? This is a stupid sentence for me to say, but I've said a lot of them. It's really tripping me out that there are so many children's authors that I don't know because I forgot that children's books didn't just exist only in my childhood.
Nobody
ever wrote another one.
They've moved on, Cody.
They've left old Cody behind.
Okay,
I'm the youngest person on stage. I'm going to hazard a guess. And a lot of the books that I read when I was a kid were written before I was born. Like, well before I was born, not like the year before. And so, I don't know if anybody else in the audience has the same problem, but it's like, yeah, so then you tend to kind of think that especially children's TV shows. Like, I watched Sesame Street growing up, granted it was newer episodes, but I mean, it goes so long, you just forget that like, oh yeah, there's new children's books.
Oh, and the Saturday morning cartoons, they suck now.
Yeah.
They suck ass now. They were good when we were kids.
You forget that there's new stuff. That's all. Except for like gay children's books, because that's new. Mm-hmm. But I get regular updates about those. But the meetings.
I didn't even know there was.
Yeah, there's one. Well, there's one for like
My
trans.
Two Dads. Is that one?
Yeah, My Two Dads is one. There's one that's like called. I think there's one that's called Uncle. Something has a friend, like Uncle Freddy. It's supposed to explain why your uncle's gay. There's some really bad ones, I'll say that. We have a game that we wanted to play with you.
Okay.
Runjit is going to play it with you.
That's right.
thank you, Runjit. It's called the Seuss Playbook. And so what we're going to do is Runjit is going to read lines from his book, and you're going to respond with him in a scenario. It's an improv game for the audience, and for listeners at home, that is what's happening. No. And so what I need from the audience, is a suggestion of a location where two people might be.
Taco Bell.
Does that work for you guys? All right. So when I stop talking, I present to you Taco Bell.
Oh, man. Everything is so cheap here. I already screwed this game up.
Yes, are you reading the book? So, Runjit will be reading the book.
All my life.
Nick, all of Runjit's lines will be coming from Green Eggs and Ham, and Nick will be responding to them as if Runjit is a real person. Ladies and gentlemen, when I stop talking, I present to you Taco Bell.
That was awesome. I'd like to order the frittata, please.
I would not like them here or there.
All right, then. I'll have the eggs asador.
Would you like them in a house?
Well, yeah, I'm going to take them back home. My wife is expecting, and it's been a long while. So we figured Mexican food will, induce labor.
Would you like them with a mouse?
Well, we're going to give birth to a child, so that would be unhygienic.
Not in a box?
I'll take it in a bag.
Not with a mouse?
I already said, I don't want... Excuse me, have you not passed the health parameters here, right?
I would not eat them anywhere.
Is that what you're telling me? Is that okay? Well, fair enough. Let me have two Diet Cokes. You can't go wrong with a bag of French fries.
Eat them. Here they are.
Thank you. Do you have any condiments? I'd like some vinegar and some ketchup. Would be
you may like them.
Well, I'm British, so vinegar and ketchup. I do like.
I would not, could not in a tree.
Well, I hope not. You'd be a savage.
You let me be.
I'm sorry, I took a step too far. here is an extra tip for you.
Not on a train.
I know, it's really remarkable that they do have this Taco Bell here on the Metro. Just take my tip.
Could you want a boat?
You're coming on to me.
And see.
That's a tough book. Oh, man. Nick, do you have any final thoughts on Green Eggs and Ham or Dr. Seuss?
You know what? A lot of Dr. Seuss stuff is like terrorism.
Yeah,
I've been thinking about this because it's like, you know, if you look at this book, it's basically like Sam, selling a guy who doesn't want to eat green eggs and ham until he capitulates. You know, the Cat in the Hat is about a home invasion. Mr. Brown Canoe is about somebody who's just like obsessed with making noises. It's pretty, if you look at it deep enough, they're pretty twisted stories, I think.
It was the Roald Dahl of short form poetry.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. We have a review that we searched online for some fun negative reviews of our books.
Yeah.
And Nick, there's one right there for you to read, sir. This is a review from online of Green Eggs and Ham.
This book is so annoying. What's the deal with all the rhyming? That got on my last nerve. I can't believe this book is a children's classic. This book does for children's books what Jim Jones did for children's drinks. Kool-Aid, that is. If you want a great children's book, try Atlas Shrugged, the pop-up book by Ayn Rand.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Nick John.
Nick. Oh my God. Did I man wrote a pop-up
version of Atlas Shrugged, anybody?
That is terrible. I also want
800 pages long.
I also want to get this on the record, and then we'll introduce our next guest. It was Flavor-Aid, not Kool-Aid. That really bugs me. I don't know why. But everybody goes, oh yeah, they drank the Kool-Aid. I always go, it's Flavor-Aid! Flavor-Aid! I just want to make it clear. Please, thank you. Alright, I'll go ahead and introduce our next guest on Flavor-Aid. Ladies and gentlemen, our next comedian coming to the stage is a fantastic local comic in Chicago. She recently performed at the Bridgetown Comedy Festival in Portland, Oregon, and she is also a producer of one of the great rooms in Chicago. Congrats on your success. Ladies and gentlemen, please give a huge round of applause to Rebecca O'Neill.
Hello.
Hi, Rebecca.
Hi, Cody.
How are you?
I'm fantastic.
Oh, fantastic. She's up in the ante. I don't know what's happening. This is weird. Oh, man.
So, Rebecca, what kind of reading do you like to do, or have you liked to do in the past?
Oh.
As a child thing.
As a child, I read a lot of Goosebumps. I read a lot of Babysitter's Club.
What was your favorite Goosebumps?
Oh, how could you choose? Honestly, I don't remember any specific Goosebumps, if we're going to be real about it.
Did you ever read the superhero one? Night of the Superhero one, about an evil superhero that lived in a factory? Yeah.
You know, the individual Goosebump, I have a hard time recalling. You know, I read, when I was a little older, I definitely got into, like, civil rights books geared at children. Like, I know that's a very specific, is that a thing? It's definitely a thing. I read this book called Roll of Thunder, Hear Me Cry.
Very famous book.
Yeah, and I was angry for months. So that was Rebecca's child.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Yeah. Now I'm reading I'm reading this 1948 Vogue's Book of Etiquette. It just has a lot of tips about how ladies can be more ladylike, and it's hilarious.
Finally. Thank God.
It's hilarious.
God. Somebody pushed for that. Right. Can we go back real quick? I don't want to be ignorant. I don't know Roll of Thunder, Hear Me Cry.
What?
It's about the integration of a school in the South.
Oh!
And, oh, yeah, classic.
I grew up in Texas, so that definitely would not have been a book available to children at all. So that's good. I was like, I'm sure it's going to be either about integration or Native Americans, and either way would not have been in Texas. So
we have to search through the embers to find out.
Yeah. You go back,
piece that one together.
You have to go back into the adult section of the library to find that book. Yeah. Okay, I feel better now. All right. And so, like, what are you reading now?
Oh, well, I was reading the 1948 Book of Etiquette. Reading Montaigne's essays, which are like, this guy 500 years ago wrote about his own personality and like tried to like figure out what, you know, being a human was. And it was like 500 years ago in France, but it's still like super relevant now because people don't change and all that. So that's what I'm reading now.
What if God was one of us?
Oh, boy.
Just a child like one of us. That's what Cody's reading right now.
Yes, I'm reading a song. That's awesome. I mean, you've got some heavy reading going on, which is nice.
It's pretty all right.
That's good. Hey, fellas.
Sure.
I don't know. I'm trying to pimp out all the guests today. That's my job. All right.
So you chose one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish.
I did choose that.
Do you have any particular reason for being attached to this book?
I picked it because Green Eggs and Ham was taken.
I think that could possibly be a recurring theme as we go through.
Also, everybody, she doesn't remember anything about this book at all. She read it 30 years ago.
Actually, how old do you think I am? Okay. My niece, who's three, and she has it, so I'm like, that's the book I'm choosing because it's right in front of me. And I actually have read it to her a bunch of times, and she seems to enjoy it, though there isn't like a through plot line, but she doesn't know about plot. She's three, so... It works out.
She just likes the sound of the words.
Right? Yeah.
There are some great
sounds
of words
into it.
Yeah. It is probably the least plot. There's not much of a...
I think it's a terrible book.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, I have so many problems with one fish, two fish, red fish, blue
the
fish.
The character development, guys.
Well, okay.
Horrid.
Okay, well, first of all, one of the original fish is just a sneech. If anybody remembers the Sneetches, it's just a yellow fish with a star on its stomach.
Isn't
I'm showing the audience.
Is like continuity from book to book?
Well, no, but I'm just saying.
No, but even within the book.
Have some originality. Oh, yeah, well, then he switches over from fish to non-fish things without really saying he's going to do it.
There's
no foreshadowing at all. There's a thing in here about women. Little girls like to comb hair.
That's
bullshit.
True.
There's slave labor in here at one point. I don't know if you saw that.
That may be a little, maybe taking some liberties.
Oh, I'm going to. Nope, right here.
Well, we like our bike and it's made for three. Our mic sits up in back, you see. We like our mic and this is why Mike does all the work when the hills get high. And it's a monkey pushing them up a hill. There is serious slave labor.
Mike is your friend, okay? Mike wants to do. I'm imposing that on Mike. I don't know.
Yeah.
I can hate his position in their lives, but we'll never know, will we?
At least we live in the antebellum Seuss era. We can look back.
The Gilded Age is over. Okay.
My favorite thing about that is Rebecca is offering the old argument for slavery.
That's what I was saying, antebellum Seuss.
Which is like,
slavery.
The old argument was, you know, well, actually, that gives them structure, and they like it.
They rescued, Mike.
Hold on.
That's what Rebecca just said.
They rescued Mike from the wobbulous world of Dr. Seuss, and gave him
they
a mic.
They gave him a reason to be.
Right.
I feel like my argument has gotten
twisted,
wildly, wildly misconstrued.
You've been rhetoric.
I would just like to state the record that I feel like Mike is happy, and like, you don't know. Okay.
I also am mad at Barnes & Noble because they stole Nook from this book. Because there's a thing called a Nook, but it can't read, which makes it really funny for me now.
Right?
It's on page 31 if you'd like to turn to your pages.
Yeah.
In the audience and at home. If you all would like to follow along.
Yeah.
Thank you. Some people have mimed it. That's great.
It's true, though. This book is basically a long list of random creatures.
Random occurrences.
There are these two pages where he has a list of these attributes about this one guy, and then the other page he just does it backwards.
I mean, that guy.
It's lazy.
He's my favorite guy.
It's lazy writing.
I like that guy.
Where did he get his doctorate from?
Yeah, because he's got gold teeth. What page is that? That guy is the best guy in the book. I opened right to it.
Yeah.
Serendipity. Okay.
Yeah.
My hat is old. My teeth are gold.
Yeah.
I have a bird I like to hold. I'd like to know more about him.
He's the Flavor Flav of the
Seuss
universe.
That's
all that
he's
is.
He's got the
That's
pirate.
All
he's got the bird. He's got the teeth. He's interesting, man.
Wow.
And he does it all upside down because of like parallels, literary shit. Okay. I'm done. That's all I got.
My problem with the Nook is that it has these two children watching him being unable to read and therefore can't eat. And I feel like that just teaches you to just stand by and watch people starve to death because they're illiterate.
Damn, Cody.
Gotta deal with your consequence, Dr. Seuss.
Wow, man. And it had like a periodic ending. We don't find that the Nook can't read the cookbook until he's already burning the sausage in the illustration. Like,
wow. He's gonna starve to death.
Oh, man, that Nook.
It's the twist ending.
It really is.
Yeah.
This is like an anthology. I'm an anthology of nonsensical short two-page stories.
That should be the title for something. An anthology of short, nonsensical two-page stories.
It'll be my documentary on this book.
Yeah.
It'll be it. That's all. That's my rant against one of his two.
I think we worked it all out, man.
You'd be surprised. A lot of rage.
A lot of Seuss-related rage. There.
Just in general.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, I mean, he went to Dartmouth.
Did he?
And Oxford, but he didn't graduate from Oxford.
Mm. Yeah, surprised.
what was that about?
I'm just saying, you know, some shoddy workmanship, and Oxford would not stand for
it.
That Lawrence graduated from Oxford, not Dr. Seuss.
Not Dr. Seuss.
Yeah.
He's a doctor.
He's not one.
He's not an actual doctor. That's even worse. He didn't even, I don't think he even has an honorary doctor like Stephen Colbert.
No.
He just literally decided to call himself Dr. Seuss.
It was like an F.U. to Oxford, because
he
didn't finish there. He was like, F.U., I'm a doctor now.
Is Dr. Seuss on trial right now? Like, what is this into? Like,
welcome, Rebecca O'Neill, to Dr. Seuss on trial.
She's defending his views on slavery. Ladies and gentlemen. No, don't throw her under the bus like that. I can't.
I'm so far under the bus.
Oh, speaking of getting thrown under the bus, are you ready for us to put you on the spot?
Why not?
We're going to put you on the spot because, Rebecca, you would have no idea about this, but you are going to compose on the spot with us.
Okay.
A jingle about...
Her face got really tense.
About this. Yeah, about this.
No,
quote.
I'm always down for a song, man. Let's do it.
Oh, man. I mean, so, you're like the first person to get like, yeah, I'm into it. Let's do it. How about Dave's actually pretty good as well.
Yeah, that's true. He was.
Yeah.
Actually, Dave was our first guest to do a loop.
Yeah.
On the jingle.
So one of us will start off.
So we're going to loop it, I think.
Do you want to have her start off? Let's talk about it like she's not here. Rebecca, would you like to start off?
I'll start off
with me, and then we'll go to Runjan, and then we'll go to Rebecca. And so basically what we're going to be doing is we're going to be singing the title of the book.
Or something about it,
however you want to. And it's gonna all meld together layer by layer until eventually we're all singing at the same time.
And it'll
gonna create a cool little jazzy theme song for One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish. Yeah?
That's it.
All right.
We'll see.
So I will start out, or would you like to start out?
I would.
So I will start out. All right, I'll take the bass line as I want to do.
Okay.
I want to get the book to make sure I know the title correctly.
What's right is accurate, ladies.
I don't want to mess it
it's
up.
It's very
is
difficult.
Is it One Fish, Five Fish? I don't remember. All right. Can I get a hum from the audience?
You all hummed the same
note.
How did you do that?
Later we're gonna go play Carnegie Hall.
One fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish. 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 One fish,
it's a long fish, red fish, blue list fish. Of various fish, creatures.
Fish, one fish,
it's a long
fish,
list
red fish, blue fish.
Of various
one fish,
creatures.
Red fish, blue fish. One fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish. One fish, red fish, blue fish. One fish, blue fish, red fish, blue fish. One 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 fish, red fish,
blue fish. Woo! I lost track of the names of the fish. That's why I needed the book. All right, guys, that was fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah, nice job, Rebecca.
Thank you all for the notes. That was great.
Let's have you read a review.
Okay. I wanted to know her final thoughts on One Fish.
Oh, thank you.
Because I kind of steered the wagon a little too much, and I want. Yeah. Thank you, audience, for laughing at that. Yeah.
No, that could be.
I feel like I got it all out. I will say this is more about the last book. You said it's crap writing. I like writing restrictions. I think they can make you be more creative. There's this like group. I'm gonna mess up the name. I think they're called Ulipo, and they would like have these writing restrictions where like you'd have to write a whole book without like the letter E, which
oh,
how do you do that?
One of my favorite books is written in that exact
yeah,
same way. Yeah, it's a
love
French
that
author,
kind of
which
thing.
It's weird to do it in French.
Yeah,
but
almost impossible.
No, this was crap writing. Greetings
and
Ham was good, actually. I was going to actually make that comment during Greetings and Ham that I feel like the restrictions helped him not just make up shit for
me
no reason.
Me and Cody have agreed, everyone. I feel like we've come full circle.
Let me shake your head. There
we
go.
Yeah.
Today we can do this.
A historic agreement was reached.
This is the third Treaty of Versailles. Let it be. So that's your final.
That's all I got.
That's your final take on One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish. And your favorite guy was the guy with the gold teeth. Who's your least favorite?
Oh, the guy who couldn't fit in his bed. Like, and then he
Ned.
Kept doing the feet holes.
Yeah.
I'm like,
oh,
dude, get
it.
A new bed.
Yeah,
I put like, foot holes in it. Like, you're
lots
look, not everybody can afford a new
bed.
Bed. Look, that was a part. That was a part about here he is. That was a part
what
about economic inequality. He cannot afford a new bed. I'll read it. Who am I? My name is Ned. I do not like my little bed. This is no good. This is not right. My feet stick out of bed all night, and when I pull them in, oh dear, my head sticks out of bed up here. I have the same problem.
Oh, well.
Especially in college. It was not. It didn't work out well for me. Wrong. 6'3 for the listeners at home.
I feel like with that extra timber, he could have extended the bed. That's all I'm saying now.
Well, yeah, but you want him to rebuild a whole bed?
You know what? He isn't real, so I'm not really taking that.
I'll make this before you leave the state.
We don't need to. So all right.
Okay,
the review.
So we have an Amazon review for you as well.
Okay.
A review of One Fish,
Two
Fish,
Red
Fish,
Blue Fish.
Okay. Hearing of Dr. Seuss's reputation, I got this book from the store. However, my 4-year-old quickly lost interest. This book starts with fish, and after a couple pages, goes on to really random, unconnected things. There's no flow of thought, just a bunch of rhyming words, complete blah. I personally think that stories and rhymes are not very well suited for young children.
As everyone knows, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen.
You didn't tell me you were going to put my review in this book. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Rebecca O'Neill. Thank you, Rebecca.
I agree.
There's some shoddy wordsmanship, right? No?
My favorite part about that review was hearing of Dr. Seuss's reputation. It's like somebody mentioned to her.
Yeah.
Hey, have you heard of this Dr. Seuss character? Pretty good writer of children's books.
You should go check him out.
Yeah.
Oh, is he a country doctor? No. Is he like Doc Hollywood, that Michael J. Fox movie?
No.
All right. Guys, we want to welcome our next guest to the stage. She is also a fantastic stand-up comedian in the city of Chicago. She is a cast member of Chicago Underground Comedy and also hosts a YouTube show called Yell You Better, where she yells advice at people, and it's fantastic. You should check it out. Google that. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage Katie McVeigh.
Adjusting
the microphone stand.
Alright,
I'll
put it back in there.
Katie, how are you? Hi, Katie, how are you?
I'm okay.
I really like your shoes.
Thanks.
I like the whole ensemble.
Listen, I'm killing it.
Yeah, you really are.
Don't mean to brag.
No, you're doing it. You're not
doing a great job.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, the mic's on now.
Is
Don't
it?
Worry, I fixed it.
Nice. Oh, it was off. Well, sorry, guests. Hope you all are doing okay. Luckily, there's like, what? I'm not going to count. That's just going to sound bad on the radio.
Yeah,
all
right. The radio?
That's
what is this on Sirius?
Yes.
No, it's not.
It's on Sirius XM.
Oh, okay.
It's on my ham radio. I'm broadcasting it out to truckers.
Too poor to afford either of those things, so.
Fair
I'm
enough. So you'll never know. Yeah, there you go.
Whatever. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I wasn't saying hi to you. I know you. You're dressed like a used car salesman. All right.
Did you use that last time you saw me?
Yeah, the jacket's terrible.
It was a different jacket.
It's looked kind of the same, though. I felt like
the
he's
one,
wearing
the
other jacket again.
Tony,
collection
in Banana Republic. This one was a gift from an ex-boyfriend.
Oh, that ex-boyfriend should be an ex-boyfriend. He is.
No, he's a good guy. I traded him a fake snakeskin jacket for it.
Oh, my God. I don't want to hear about your
Again,
style.
I'm pretty sure he's not
I
lying.
I think your jacket looks
I'm so glad that I complimented you on your outfit. Now.
I just want to check. You're probably telling the truth about the snakeskin jacket, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
See? That was an actual fact. I didn't want to let that go. You were all like, oh, he made up a little quip.
No, it fit him. No, they all know me. It fit him better. It fit him better than it fit me, and this one fit me better than it fit him. We both played the same character in a play one time, so we just all...
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. All right, so, Katie.
Yeah.
When you were a child, I assume you were at one point.
At one point.
Mm-hmm. What did you read, if you did?
Well,
not to assume you did.
First off, thanks for assuming I never
read.
I wasn't saying if you did.
First of all, are you able to read?
I know you know.
Are you literate?
I'm not.
I want to look. I grew up with a lot of kids.
I just
that
stand
didn't
by
like
the bus
read.
Stop.
She's our first
like,
illiterate guest, ladies and gentlemen.
I didn't mean it that way. I was just trying to be. I was just trying to be nice and say that it was okay if somebody doesn't.
I never read. I'm illiterate.
Good.
Rough times.
Well,
no, I read as a child. I read lots of books. I read One Boxcar Children, but did not like it.
Okay.
Why the fuck were they living in a boxcar when their grandfather lived in the same goddamn town?
we'll get into that in the future.
I had a lot of problems with it. Also, they updated the cover so it looked like 1991. So they were just like living in a boxcar in 1991. Anyway, not
I mean, people still did.
I read a book in fourth grade called The Ghost in the Big Brass Bed, and it was really scary. I read another book where a girl lived in the walls of her house.
Do you know who wrote that last one? The Brass Bed?
Bruce Coville, I want to say.
Bruce Blanche?
No, Bruce Coville, famous children's author. Get it together, Melcher.
Look, I didn't read when I was a child. I was projecting earlier.
Okay. I read Encyclopedia Brown. Yo, Bruce.
Then people just walked in.
I read, what else did I read? I tried to read Pride and Prejudice, but they weren't having it at the local library. They said, not for you.
I thought you just had a weird way of saying they didn't have it at the local library, but you meant no, they were having none of it at the local
library. Not at the local library. My school library, like in fourth grade, I tried to take out Pride and Prejudice, and Miss Pittman, who ran the library, was like, "Nah, man." And I was like, "What?" And then when I went to a new school, I was like, "Pride and Prejudice, you're a con."
I feel like someone got shanked in that story and just admitted it.
I was like 3'11". That wasn't happening.
Oh, 3'11", not the band 3'11".
Yeah, I was 3LW. Now I read lots of things.
Cool.
Yeah.
What do you read now?
Mad Men.
I feel like I need to clarify. Do you read, by that are you just saying you watch the episodes of Mad Men, or do you read novelizations of episodes of Mad Men?
No, I'm reading Mad Men. I refuse to clarify for it.
So ladies and gentlemen, Katie McVeigh reads fan fiction of Mad Men.
I did not say that, I just said Mad Men.
At Tone Foolery, we make up things about our guests.
No, I mean it in the fair.
That's our slogan. Did you not see that on the bumper sticker when you came in?
You have a bumper sticker?
On my butt.
This is really taking a turn. No, I don't know. My boyfriend was like, "You should read some Kurt Vonnegut," and I was like, "I don't think so." And then
my boyfriends always do that. They always want to read Kurt Vonnegut.
They're like, "Hey, you never read anything past 18 or 12," and you're like,
18 or 12?
Not a year. But yeah, so I read some Vonnegut. Some of it was good, some of it wasn't good. And then I read Mad Men.
Can you give me one from each column?
Mother Night was no good. That was garbage. Okay. Galapagos, I'm real into that. Everybody turns into seals. Spoiler alert.
Usually, you should say spoiler alert before you say it.
One would think.
It kind of loses its...
Spoiler alert! Seals! Spoiler alert!
Oh, hey, you just put a car flare. This is what you did on that one.
I just bookended it.
Yeah, well, hopefully...
Seals alert.
Hopefully someone's listening to this episode backwards, and so they were warned.
They're listening for the backmasking.
If you are not caught messages. Up in your Kurt Vonnegut, it seems like a you problem, not a me problem. Just saying.
I just feel so bad for that one listener who's like, who just finished a book, and they've got to love it because they're like, "Ooh, boy, but first I'm going to listen to an episode of Tomfoolery." And then they put it on their Vitrola, and they sit down in their wingback chair. They're sipping a cognac in the fireplace, and they're just like, "Huh? Oh, no!" And then they crush it in their hand and bleed to death because it sort of just cuts into their veins.
First off, that's very dramatic. Secondly, I like that your proposed listener is like some sort of steampunk enthusiast with an iPod. Because he set up his iPod to run out of Victrola.
I just assume that Lord Byron is still alive and he just hangs out in England listening to podcasts.
And he's pretty tech savvy.
Lord Byron boned his sister.
Yes. Do you have any
he's
more facts?
He's a douche. I don't know, but I used to call Percy Bryce Shelley Percy Douche Shelley because that's what he is.
Do you have any more nicknames for famous authors of the past?
Nah, just
Especially in the Gothic Shelley. Era, Romantics?
Nah. But Lord Byron.
Edgar Allan Poe, more like Edgar Allan No.
No, I never said Edgar Allan Poe. That also.
Really, he boned his cousin. I mean, if we're going to go.
Yeah, but Lord Byron boned his sister. That's like so much more awesome. Also, Lord Byron, like, ladies would eat plates with his face on them and then get to the bottom of the plate and be like, "Oh, this is so exciting. Thank God I ate that soup." They did. They made plates with his face on them.
Right. Is that his fault?
I'm just saying, like, that's the baller man. If someone made plates with my face on them, I'd be like,
"So you're pro him, but he's a douche." But you're like,
no, Percy Shelley's a douche.
Okay.
Because Percy Shelley was like, "Yo, wife of mine, Mary Shelley," he was like, "write a book." And she was like, "Okay." And then he was like, "Quick, let me add a foreword to this." And she was like, "All right, I love you and I trust you because you're my husband." And then his foreword was like, "A lady wrote a book. Isn't that crazy?" She wrote a book and it's pretty good. Hot damn.
He was the 80s.
He's a douche.
He was the 80s showcase host of the Gothic era.
I don't understand
like,
that reference.
Like a, ladies and gentlemen, your next comedian coming to the stage is a lady.
Yeah, but it'd be like that, but then also I boned that guy and owned a house with him. That's terrible.
Yeah.
Speaking of boning. What did you think of Dr. Seuss's book, Fox and Socks?
First off, there's a real lack of boning in there. Except your tongue. Your tongue's getting boned all the time by the tongue twisters that I have in that book. Ooh. And bring it back. It's a great book. It's one of my favorites. I used to read it in the back of the car, much to the enjoyment of my family.
Out loud?
Oh, absolutely. What, are you supposed to read this book in your head? No. It says on the cover of the book, this book is to be read aloud.
It says this book is to be read aloud in an
all-caps. That's what I just said.
I was going to continue.
Okay, fine.
For you.
Fair.
Sorry.
That's okay.
To find out just how smart your tongue is. The first time you read it, don't go fast. Oh, God. This fox is a tricky fox. Really? Okay, this is turning into, like, 80s rock lyrics. He'll try to get your tongue in trouble. Yeah.
No, give me that book, bro. No, don't walk away.
No, here, give me
No, give me a book, bro.
Thanks, bro.
No, this is a great book. You're wrong. Take it slowly. This book is dangerous.
I didn't say it wasn't good. I only said that about one fish, two fish. I like this one, except for the fact that the fox is trapped in a jar of some kind, possibly dying.
No, that's great. Mr. Knox. Okay, so if you guys don't know the plot of the book, which you might not, Mr. Fox is like, yo, bro, say all these words. And also, here's these scenarios that I'm going to drag you into, he says to a yellow guy named Mr. Knox. And Mr. Knox is like, I don't want any of that. And then Fox is like, too bad, we're dealing with it. And then at the end, Mr. Knox is like, I'm going to shove you in this bottle with a bunch of people battling paddles. And then the book ends. It's a beautiful revenge story.
That was a very accurate synopsis.
Yeah, okay.
You guys can all take the quiz now.
T2Wild, bitches.
Right, but I mean, that's a lot of might is right in the end of a book, I'm just saying, for children.
Children need to know. Life is hard.
All right, so talking about life is hard.
Yep.
Katie, we have a game we want to play with you.
I don't think I do, though. Here's the thing, I do want to read... Do you want to read this?
You don't even know what the game is.
I hate games. Enjoying how much I hate games.
Yeah.
When Tweedle Beetles fight, it's called a Tweedle Beetle battle. And when they battle in a puddle, it's a Tweedle Beetle puddle battle. And when the Tweedle Beetles battle with paddles in a puddle, they call it a Tweedle Beetle puddle battle battle. And when Beetles battle Beetles in a puddle paddle battle, and the Beetle battle puddle in a bottle, they call this a Tweedle Beetle puddle bottle battle paddle muddle. And that's all you need to know.
This song is pretty smart.
I'm not going to make any direct reference to her tongue.
It's a pretty smart tongue.
All right, I'll play your game.
Thank you, James Bond. All right.
I like that. And even when you made me the James Bond of this scenario, which means you're going down, Dr. O. No.
Dr. O?
Dr. Oprah.
Dr. Octopus at least, but no, Dr. Oprah. Got it. Right. All right, so we're going to play a game. We're going to play one of our more popular games on our show.
Okay, I love popular games. Just
fantastic. It's called the Sexy Voice Contest. I don't know if anybody's listening to the show out there and knows it. So what we do is we're each going to read a section of the book. We've picked out a section for you.
Damn it.
To read. We're all going to read it in our sexiest voice.
Okay, I'm ready. Which one is it?
All right, I'm going to go first, then Runchen's going to go, then you're going to go.
I just want to get ready. Right, but I just want to get in the mood section.
Yours is page 32.
Oh, you're beautiful, Runchen.
Yeah, there might not be a page number on it, but you'll...
No, there is a page number. You're providing me high-quality bookage.
Some of the page numbers have numbers, some don't.
No, you're killing it. All right. Don't worry about it.
So I'm going to start. This is the sexy voice contest. Luke Luck likes lakes. Luke Stuck likes lakes. Luke Luck licks lakes. Luke Stuck licks lakes. Duck takes licks. And lakes Luke Luck likes. Luke Luck takes licks. And Lakes Ducks Likes. Thank you.
Pretty sexy. Yeah, I'm page 41.
Could have just turned back.
You want to borrow it?
Nope, he's got it.
Alright.
Alright, run just out, everybody.
Pig band. Boom band. Pig band. Broom band. My poor mouth can't say that. No, sir. My poor mouth is much too slow, sir. Well then, bring your mouth this way. I'll find it something it can say.
Welcome to everybody. All right.
I'm both aroused and frightened.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Katie.
What, am I going to read this Luke part or the Bam Bam Boom part?
I'm going to read both pages.
Both pages, yeah.
Wait, oh.
Wait, what page are you on?
Yo, I'm on Luke
32.
Luke
32, not 42.
Oh,
32.
Bro, I'm confused. Okay, hold on.
That's fine.
No, but then that's just a gooey goose.
Yeah.
That's the one.
That paragraph.
Okay.
No,
yeah.
Just that one right
this
there.
This one?
Yep.
This is gross.
Ladies
this is going to be gross.
Katie McVeigh.
I'm so sorry.
It's going to be sexy.
And it's going to be real gross. Gooey goo for Chewy. Chewy. That's what that goo goose is doing. Do you choose to chew goo too, sir? If, sir, you, sir, choose to chew, sir, with the goo goose, chew, sir. Do, sir.
Yeah!
That's gross.
Oh, that was brilliant.
That's real gross. You chose the grossest sections. Oh, on purpose, duh.
Yes.
I
will say, though, it didn't take us that long to find them. It's a pretty thick book, we'll say that much.
Gross!
So, Kay, any final thoughts on Fox and Socks?
Great book. Follow-up book even better.
What was the follow-up book?
Can't remember the title to it, but there is one. There's a sequel.
Jesus, all right. And one of the few times that the sequel was better than the original.
I'd say they're both pretty good, but there's more Tweedle Beetles battling in Puddle Muddles, so...
Well, then
that's all
you
gotta give it to the follow-up. That is. You guys have any final thoughts on the book? Don't worry, I'm gonna run this podcast while I'm up here.
Appreciate
Do you have
it.
Any final thoughts on this book?
Nope.
Do you guys want to play a game?
See, the way you say it sounds creepy.
Do you guys want to play a game? No, I'm just kidding. I don't have a game.
Cool.
I wish I had a one.
How about this for a game? How about you read a terrible review of Fox and Socks?
First off,
fine.
I'll appreciate your tone. All right.
What?
Okay, here's a terrible review from Idiot. My wife bought this for our daughter for Christmas several years back, and frankly, it is a terrible book. It has basically no story or interesting plot at all. The purpose of the book is just to have a bunch of tongue twisters. Just to have them there. Honestly, my child picks this book up periodically for bedtime stories, and my wife and I will cringe when reading this. Also, our child doesn't really seem to care for it either. Can I comment on that?
Yes, we may.
Okay. One. Your child does care for it. They pick it the fuck up, you dum-dum. Two, why did you buy that book several years back? Several, that's at least 12. Are you reading your 12-year-old bedtime stories? That child needs to learn independence. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Katie McVeigh!
Thank you.
You got a car, I can sell your own shit.
If you were wearing a snakeskin jacket, I might buy it.
Sweet.
Our next guest is an awesome comedian. You guys know the Chicago Reader does a best of thing. He was named Chicago's best comedian a little while back.
About a year ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a cast member of Hunter Proof Comedy and also tours the nation with Mission Improbable. Ladies and gentlemen, please give a huge round of applause to Sherman Edwards. Hey, Sherman.
It's weird doing a podcast standing up.
Yeah, Sherman, okay, backstory. This is our 1-year anniversary. Sherman was our very first guest. And back then, we sat down for the podcast, but now we actually stand up for them.
But all podcasts usually sit down.
I know. I just
want to make that known. I don't want to tell you how to run a podcast, but there should be chairs. I don't know. There's a seat.
I'll make sure to allow you to nail your theses on podcasts to the door of my
theses.
Exit. Yes.
That's gross. Throw my theses at you.
Make sure they're not 9 theses, okay? Shit 99 times. And then,
right.
Yeah.
Alright, so Sherman, I don't know what that means. Sherman, when you were a small Sherman, and your afro was smaller, What did you read?
Actually, you were just an afro then.
Yeah. You were a tiny afro.
That was just a small afro just rolling around.
Yeah. Like a Pokemon or something. Like when you were a child, you were just an afro, and then you evolved into like a child.
Yeah, then
afro.
Like legs started to shoot out. Like a turtle.
Like a turtle,
but more of a Sherman.
Childbirth was super ticklish, everybody.
A Sherman.
Shirtle the turtle.
Shirtle the turtle.
There you go.
Oh, I got a new character. All right. All right, we got it.
That's what we're doing here, folks.
Cool. Books as a kid, a lot of classics that I've heard already, I already forgot. Encyclopedia Brown. I was a big fan of, number one books are, Choose Your Own Adventure. There's a Choose Your Own Adventure book. I'm going to read it.
Those are apparently making a comeback in film and books. Like, mm-hmm. They're going to start doing the genre again, but they're also doing films, which I don't understand how that's going to work.
DVD.
Oh, I was thinking like leave the theater and go to a different theater.
You don't want to keep going around.
Yeah, go to the theater 7 if you want to see this.
Oh, that sounds horrible.
Oh, I agree.
What else did I read? What are those fudge books? Remember those?
Judy Blume.
Yeah, Judy Blume. Well, there's that little chick that she would do things. I don't remember her name. Her name was something. She was cool.
Ramona.
Was it Ramona?
Oh, yeah. Beverly Cleary, yeah. Ramona.
I don't know if that's what I'm talking about. Maybe Amelia Bedelia. I remember some Amelia Bedelia.
Madeline,
for sure.
Everybody, let's just all think about small girls.
Young ladies, come on.
Nick was saying that Nick was listening off children's books earlier,
yeah.
And it sounds like you're just naming off whatever. Like, oh, the car went too far. Round town.
Are you accusing him of just manufacturing children's books?
I'm just saying children's authors can just say whatever they want and get paid.
Well, I mean,
I'm not saying that.
If you want easy money,
I believe that's been my statement about Dr. Way. Seuss for this entire podcast.
Dr. Seuss MD.
I would love to see a show that was just called Seuss MD.
Seuss MD.
And it was just like a veterinary hospital, but he kept thinking that he was like on hallucinogenics the whole time, and he just thought that they were all really weird creatures, but then he kept thinking it was lupus.
It's always lupus.
It's always lupus!
Yeah. Oh, also, for the podcast, I just hit my hand on a stand, so that's what happened.
And that'll be Dr. Seuss's next book.
Oh, what I was going to say is, you're talking about colleges Seuss went to. He got denied University of Virginia.
Yes, and that's where you went.
No, that's not where I went.
I lived in Virginia.
I lived in the state. I know about it.
We'll edit that out.
But allegedly, he bought a house. He bought a house that like oversees that campus, like just to like rub it. Like he's a dick. Like he.
Yes.
Once he was super rich and famous.
Yeah, he was like, oh, I'm gonna buy a house and like oversee the school that turned me down.
I will reiterate, total dick. Yeah, I agree. What do you read now, Sherman?
What I read now? Mad Men. The Walking Dead. The TV show.
I love that you immediately clarified not the fan fiction.
Yeah,
because you know there's fan fiction
the graphic
out
novel.
There.
No, House of Leaves. Currently, I'm catching up on old books. Like right now, I'm reading The Da Vinci Code. I've never read it before, and so now I'm reading it, and it's really hard because I can't. Not picture Tom Hanks doing it. So Tom Hanks is like ruining the book.
That is the hardest part about that book.
No. The cover of the book's the hardest part of the book. That's not true, I got a paperback. Actually, it's on my phone. It's actually on my phone, so like, it's not even hard. It's placid? What are we talking about anymore? Oh yeah, Walking in the Pocket. I got it in my pocket.
So the book that you chose is Walking in the Pocket, which is, there's a Walking in My Pocket, which is the bright and early books for beginners. It is by far the shortest book of the ones that we've read.
It's very short.
It's very short.
It's very small.
You have a pocket-sized version of it.
I do. It was in my pocket.
There's a Walking in My Pocket in your pocket.
It was in my pocket.
It was, but no longer.
There's a Walking in My Pocket in your pocket.
There you go.
But also, like, is Walking a metaphor?
For what? You can't just Socratic method this where you just throw it out there.
I can't?
No, I will not stand for it, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is his PhD workshop, or just seminar here.
Seuss MD. Metaphor, penis. I didn't need to say that. You got walk in my pocket, come on. All right.
This one is by far the most gregarious usage of Dr. Seuss just making up words so he can rhyme with
just
shit.
Just rhyming to rhyme. Also,
laziest rhyme.
In terms of like lazy, like drawing, there's also like lots of, so like, let's see, what's one? So like, there's a Zelf on the shelf. If you go later, there's another character called the Geeling on the ceiling. They look like they could be related. I don't know. There's also, this is a good one. Oh, the Yeps on the steps. They also look pretty related. They don't have to be. Oh, also, like, there's the Deller. The Deller and the Yeps, they look exactly the same. They're just, one's blue, one's green. Is that a thing?
Well, I mean, neither of them are things.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
The toothbrush on the toothbrush, she looks pretty different.
Yeah, there's a couple that look pretty different, but a lot of them are pretty the same. All creepy, because they're just in his house.
Well, I mean, even the Jurton in the curtain is just bird legs sticking out of a curtain. So, I mean, come on. Get it together, Geisel.
It's really creepy. He's always talking about how, like, oh, I want to stay away from that guy. But then the very last page, like, but the Zillow on my pillow always helps me fall asleep. So he goes to sleep with all these creepy animals surrounding him constantly.
I like the part where there's the thing on the sofa. What is it? The toe
sofa?
It's gonna rhyme with sofa, whatever it is.
Bofa.
But that bofa on the sofa, well, I wish he wasn't there. But if you look at a picture of it, this bofa looks like a totally decent dude sitting there and reading a book. And he's like, I wish he wasn't there.
Well, if you notice, he's also snacking on some kind of pink candy things. Those might be that kid's candy things. And so, like, he's there just eating it's that kid's, like, candy. And he's like, yeah, I hate that guy.
I also want to point out One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish. We discussed the Nook earlier. There's also a Nook Gase on a bookcase. He couldn't even go up with a different thing to rhyme with book. Come on!
The lazy years.
All of them? All of the years. I'm just saying, this man wrote for the Jack-O-Lantern at Dartmouth. He should have been better. I would expect more from a Dartmouth man.
By the way,
this isn't Cornell, damn it! This isn't Brown! Get it together!
By the way, this book is so small, I've read this book 5 times just standing here. I want to talk about something. I read the book like 5 times just now.
We basically read it just telling you all of the creatures inside of the book.
We did not say the yodel in the bottle. But
this is
Yaddle.
Fine!
It's a Yaddle.
Oh, Yaddle. I was like,
I can't read, that's the thing.
Well, you can now. Because of that book. No? Just me? Fair enough.
No, can't read.
All right.
Are you guys ready to play a little game?
I'm always ready to play a game, especially when it's said creepily.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I'll play.
Okay.
I'll play the game.
Let's do it. This game is called Seuss Sentences. Seuss Sentences. Oh, this is not that game yet,
no.
Rob. It's going to be shortly.
But in a second.
Why can't I
Rob Stallion, everybody.
It's not that game.
We'll call you back in a second, Rob.
Yeah.
You just walk off. Walk away tall, Rob. Walk away tall.
Okay, this is a game called Seuss Sentences, based on a very common improv game. The three of us are going to improvise a three-person scene based on some suggestions from you guys. And every once in a while, any one of us can whip out the book and say a line from it as our next line in the scene. And then we're going to have to try to make it make sense in the scene.
Okay.
All right. So these lines will be from There's a Walk in One Pocket.
Are we going in order, or can I just, like,
no,
flip these
just
five pages?
Yeah, you can just flip them or whatever. Yeah, let's get a suggestion of a an activity, please, that some people, three
volleyball!
People might be doing. Three people are playing volleyball.
Right? It's a nice day for volleyball.
And you look good there, Philip.
Did you ever have the feeling there's a zamp in the lamp?
You know, now that you mention it, yeah.
I don't know, I just get that feeling sometimes.
I was thinking about it the other day, actually. It looked a little off kilter.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's your serve.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, good volley. Oh, ooh. Ooh. Oh, we dropped it.
Nink. Go this way. I hit it twice. See? Oh, that's my bad.
Side out, guys. Side out.
And when I hear a talk, I know a Zlock's behind the clock. So let's play faster. Can you play faster?
I mean, that's the kind of house I live in.
All those numbers in the cupboards, they're good fun to have about, huh?
But the yips on the steps, they're great fun to have about.
around, even.
Is it my serve now?
Yes, your serve.
Okay. Boom. 30 love.
Yeah! 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 That's how I hit volleyballs. Yeah!
I love that we're using the new tennis scoring system for volleyball. It makes it a lot faster. Instead of playing with 21.
I'm gonna be honest, Jeffrey. When I watch volleyball, I'm not really paying attention to the scoring system. And it makes me sort of nervous when the Zal scoots down the hall.
See, you get all nervous with that stuff, but like, and the Zauer in the shower?
That, oh, shit!
That weirds me out.
Yeah.
He looks like a dog, but he has hands, and he's all, like, dainty about.
Like the yacht in the pot?
Like the, exactly like the yacht.
Yeah. Oh, man. Some are friendly, some are not.
That's
thing you gotta watch out for.
And
what was that?
That was, I popped the ball. Sorry.
That's how you pop?
I accidentally popped the ball. That was the sound the ball made.
Well, I wish he wasn't there.
Me too. I would also like to not be here.
Well, some are nice, but he is not.
And scene.
Revolutionize the approach to reading for young people. Sherman, do you have any final thoughts on Walk It? There's a Walk It in my pocket.
It's a great dick joke. It's, I don't know, Seuss, he exists.
Man, you got real content.
That deep?
Is that deep? Yeah, this is, oh man.
All right.
Great Descartes.
Demystified, ladies and gentlemen. The mystery of
Seuss.
Behind the candelabra.
He
Seuss, M.D.
I think it's time for that game now.
Well, no, the Amazon review first, and then
oh,
we'll do
it. Oh, yeah, Amazon review, and then...
Sherman, we have an Amazon review for you.
Ooh, Amazon review. There's a Walk-It in my pocket.
I'm sure it is.
I know it's supposed to be just, I know it's supposed to be a fun read for kids to learn about rhyming, but all of these fantastical names for fantastical creatures are not the words I want my children learning when they're first developing their language skills.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sherman Edwards!
Yeah.
All right, Sherman, stay on the stage, and now we're going to do that game. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back to the stage Rob Scallon. Also, please welcome back to the stage Nick John, Rebecca O'Neill, and Katie McVeigh. Let me just set all the microphones up in front.
Oh,
yeah, let's do that.
I figured out the name of the Dr. Fox and Sock sequel.
Yes.
There.
It's called The Butter Battle Book.
Oh, is that the sequel to Fox and Socks?
Oh.
It's another tongue twister book.
Oh, because I love Butter Battle Book. Round of applause for Butter Battle Book, everybody. All right. Brendan, do you
want to
explain this one?
I do. We're going to do a little Dr. Seuss poetry jam before. So each of you grab your particular book, please. And Rob Scallon is going to play a little bassy music. And you guys, just share my, we got a couple mics, grab them, you know. And it's going to be kind of a free-for-all. So maybe a line or two. And just kind of in and out. And we're going to do a little four-person poetry jam.
Cool.
That's,
let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it.
And jump in. Duxie's poetry jam. Whoever wants to go first, jump on out.
Yeah, step on here. Boom, boom, pow.
Did you ever have the feeling there's a zamp in the lamp?
I like to hop all day and night, from right to left and left to right.
Who sews crow's clothes? Sue sews crow's clothes. Slow Joe Crow sews who's clothes? Sue's clothes.
Could you, would you with a goat? I would not, could not with a goat. Sometimes I am quite certain there's a jerton in the curtain.
Oh dear, I cannot hear. Will you please come over near? Will you please look in my ear? There must be something there, I feel.
Would you, could you, in the rain? I would not, could not, in the rain.
Who comes? Crow comes. Slow, Joe Crow comes. Boom!
I like the Zabel on the table and the Nair beneath the chair. But that Bofa on that sofa acts as if he doesn't care.
Dick takes off.
Not on a train, not in a tree, not in a car. See him, let me be. I would not, could not, in a box. I could not, would not, with a fox.
There we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Tomfoolery Live. One more time, big round of applause. Big John, Rebecca O'Neill, Katie McVeigh,
and Sherman Edwards.
Also, big round of applause for Rob Stellan and Brian Benderegg, who played our theme song. And also, I've been Cody Belcher. Say goodnight, Roger.
And I'm Roger. Good night, everybody.
Good night. John, please, out. Thanks for coming out.